A career Christian minister, Phil Blackwell, is also an activist who seeks social justice. He has spent a lifetime fighting for the economic conditions of the poor and fights against racial stereotypes. And no, Phil Blackwell doesn't believe that Jesus Christ was a conservative Republican.
Well, I'm a retired Protestant minister who for 45 years spent a lot of time speaking to people in public places. Now I mainly talk to myself, so I invite you to listen in. Drove past a small church a few weeks ago that had a sign out front, said, "Tweet others as you want to be tweeted." Now, there's a version of the Golden Rule that has certain currency. I learned the Golden Rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, from my parents for early on as a kind of what I think they were telling me how to act at recess at school. You know, be nice to the other kids and they'll be nice to you. It's a way to get along with others, gentle words of good advice. But over the years, I've realized that at the heart, the Golden Rule is so much more than that. It's radical. That is, it gets to the root of things. It turns the world upside down, if you take it seriously. It throws economic systems out the window. It erases all barriers. It silences political haranguing. And it embarrasses those who think too highly of themselves. That's the revolutionary power of something that, at first hearing, sounds so gentle. The power of compassion expressed in do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Karen Armstrong is an historian of the world's religions whose writings I've been reading a lot lately. She teaches at Oxford and has started a movement called the Charter for Compassion. She explains that the word compassion means to endure something with another person. It's not enough simply to feel sorry for another or to have pity on another, but she says to look into our hearts, discover what gives us pain, and then refuse under any circumstance whatsoever to inflict that pain on anyone else. Compassion, she said, can be defined, therefore, as an attitude of principles, consistent altruism, which she said is summed up by the Golden Rule. Armstrong tells us something we already know about ourselves, if we are honest. We have a natural capacity for compassion as well as for cruelty, she says. We can either emphasize those aspects of our traditions, religious or secular, that speak of hatred, exclusion, and superstition, and deep suspicion, or we can work with those that stress the interdependence and equality of all human beings. The choice is ours. Now, can we hear how radical compassion can be? How it can overturn every effort to humiliate others, to subjugate others, to come out on top at other people's expense? How it can discredit every economic ploy, every political lie, every military incursion in order to triumph over others? Compassion's more than kindness. It's identifying with the other person. It's embracing our common humanity. It says that we're all in this together, so we had better love one another. It wasn't that long ago that we witnessed that horrible suicide bomber attack on young concertgoers in Manchester, England. A man detonated a bomb in a pedestrian concourse leading to public transportation just as the concert ended, killing 22 and maiming many more. Who were the first responders to the injured, even before the police and the firefighters could get there? Well, that evening there were a few homeless men who had set up shop in the walkway leading away from the arena. Begging for money can be a full-time job. And when the bomb exploded, these men were the first to cradle the dying, to pull nails and shards of glass out of the faces of children, and to work to reunite families. When a television reporter asked one of them why he did it, he said, "Just because I am homeless doesn't mean I haven't got a heart." Compassion, embracing one another, acting in a single language that speaks louder than words. Now, those of us from the Christian tradition learn the golden rule from the sayings of Jesus. But Jesus was not the only one, or even the first one, to teach the golden rule. Jesus was a good Jew, and compassion was embedded in the Judaism in which he was raised. So in the generation before Jesus, the great Hebrew sage Hillel, as the story goes, was approached by a pagan who promised to convert to Judaism if Hillel could recite the entire Torah while he stood on one leg. Hillel perched himself on one leg and replied, "What is hateful to yourself, do not do to your fellow man. That is the whole of the Torah, and the remainder is but commentary. Go study it." Nothing about the creation of the world, nothing about the Exodus, nothing about the 613 laws of Leviticus. It's all summed up in the Golden Rule. That's why Jesus later says that all the law and the prophets are contained in this single, simple, radical call for compassion. But before Hillel, the Buddha taught the essence of the Golden Rule and his sense of nirvana. Confucius, in his concept of Ren, saw people at the center of concentric circles of compassion, reaching out from the self to the family, to the village, to the country, to the world. He said, "Behave away from home as though you were in the presence of an important guest." And about 600 years after Jesus, Muhammad adopted a version of the Golden Rule, as Karen Armstrong writes, to counter the aggressive capitalism that was dominating Mecca. The rich were becoming much richer and the poor much poorer. And the basic message of the Quran, she says, is that it is wrong to build a private fortune, but good to share your wealth fairly, to create a just and decent society where poor, vulnerable people are treated with respect. A translation of Muhammad's maxim reads, as she has it, "Not one of you can be a believer unless he desires for his neighbor what he desires for himself." So, the Golden Rule in Buddhism, Confucianism, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, many languages, many religions, many cultures, but one truth. We're all in this together, so we better love one another. It's interesting in the Christian context that Jesus expands on this radical nature of compassion. He's quoted as saying in the Gospel of Matthew that you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give him your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also a second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. Can we understand why Jesus was crucified? I think he would be crucified in Washington right now. Crucified on the Capitol Square in Madison. Crucified on Wall Street, and maybe on many a main street, and possibly in many churches. Compassion turns the world upside down and unites all of humanity except for those too fearful to join in the human race. We're all in this together, and that truth changes everything. It changes how we see the world. One day a few years ago, I was eating breakfast in a diner at the corner of Clark and Madison Streets in the Loop in Chicago. I'm looking out the window at all of the people rushing by to get from the commuter train station to work on time. And then I notice that there's a woman hunched over on the sidewalk, her back leaning against the outside wall of the diner just below the windows. She's selling the world's finest chocolate bars to anyone who can spare a dollar or two. Most people pass by without acknowledging her presence. A few people nod. A few say hello. One person gives her half a sandwich and another a part of a donut. Then I see a blind man walking slowly along the sidewalk, tapping his white cane on the concrete below the diner windows to find his way. When he gets to the woman, he taps her gently, and then he stops and talks with her. Perhaps she's a regular at that spot. After a brief conversation, he continues on his way. Shortly after that, a man pretending to be Jesus scurries along the sidewalk. There's no limit to what one might see on the sidewalks of the city center. Here he is, long hair and a beard. He's dressed in a full-length magenta robe with a rope belt, and he's carrying a 3-foot-long cross over his shoulder. And he hurries past the woman without any recognition that she's there. Pretty soon, here comes the blind man back in the other direction, tapping as he goes, until he reaches the woman seated on the sidewalk. He taps her to find her, secures the cane under his arm, reaches into his wallet, and pulls out $2 bills. He gives them to her, and she gives him 2 candy bars in return. Then he's on his way. But now here comes Jesus, all in a big hurry, back in the other direction, bearing his cross, but not looking at the woman he passes by on the other side. So who's the real savior to the woman begging on the sidewalk? The blind man with his cane, or the pretender with his cross? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That sums up everything. Many languages, yes. Many cultures, yes. Many opinions, yes. Many religions, yes. But there's only one truth. We're all in this together, and we better love one another. Phil Blackwell from MadisonTalks.com.
Tall, could have used a few pounds. Tight pants, points, hollering out.